بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى خلفائه الراشدين المهديين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last session we have covered the martyrdom of the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu by the plan of the Khawarij, who had set to kill the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu, the governor of Syria, Amin Muawiyah, and the third companion, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu as well. And in this wake, in the wake of their plan, they had injured Amin Muawiyah in his prayer of Fajr, but he recovered from the injuries which were caused to him. And so far, Amr regards, so the killer had mistakenly had killed another man instead of Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, and this way Amr bin As was saved from the attack of the Khawarij killer. But the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu, who was also there in his Fajr prayer, was attacked by Ibn Muljim, and he struck on the Caliph's head. And this way the Caliph radiallahu anhu received severe injuries, deep injuries on his head, which led his martyrdom. He was injured on 17th Ramadan and was his last day to depart from this mortal world was 21st Ramadan after passing three days in his state of injuries which he had received from the strike of Ibn Muljim. The Caliph, may Allah bless him, Ali radiallahu anhu, the fourth Caliph of Islam, the Caliph who he had this distinction and this, he has this status that the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahabihi wa sallam had once said that they are the most unfortunate people in the world, the one who had killed the camel of the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, and the one who will kill the companion Ali radiallahu anhu. So this can be gauged from the Prophet's hadith that how blessed the Caliph was that the killer of his was the most unfortunate man of the world after the killer of the Prophet Salih alayhi salam's camel, which was killed by the man in his of his nation. This is how we can gauge, we can understand that the ranking of the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu was how much high and how far he was, how much he was great in his honor towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahabihi wa sallam. We had referred before also in the last session about his honor towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet, and his extraordinary traits and his extraordinary characteristics which he had possessed all throughout the life, and ultimately he was in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the cause of his truthfulness. He was adamant, he was steadfast on his truthfulness, which had actually caused the people to oppose him. Khawarij were the ones who were repeatedly demanding the Caliph to declare his blasphemy. How could he declare his blasphemy? So this was, he could not deviate from the righteous path. He was a Amirul Mu'mineen. He was the chief of the believers. So how could he go declaring himself blasphemous and fulfilling the demand of the Khawarij, which was impossible and which was within the and which was beyond the limits of Sharia. It was against the Sharia itself to declare one blasphemous. So he could not go against the Sharia or against the truthfulness. So he could not fulfill the demands of the Khawarij. Similarly, Khawarij had also asked him before to attack the Syrian forces after he had committed an agreement of arbitration with the Syrian forces, in which there was a time of 6 months included for the arbitration. So he again could not go or violate the agreement of arbitration on the demands of the Khawarij. So he could not fulfill this demand also of the Khawarij. So the Khawarij turned against him so fiercely and so severely that they had separated themselves from the caliph radiallahu anhu and his caliphate and had settled in other place where they had started killing the people, like Abdullah bin Khubab radiallahu anhu, with his whole family was killed. Similarly, the man who was sent to probe into the matter by the caliph was also killed. So the caliph radiallahu anhu had been facing this trouble from the ends of the Khawarij, one after another. Sometimes they used to pose the demands to the caliph, which were unreasonable demands, which were un-Islamic demands, which were the demands of violation of the Sharia. So that could not be fulfilled by the caliph anyway, and that's why he did not fulfill any demand of the Khawarij, and he remained steadfast on his truthfulness, on his righteous course of Sharia, and at the same, in the same wake of his steadfastness, that caused the Khawarij to stand against the caliph, and yet he did not surrender his position to the unreasonable and un-Islamic demands of the Khawarij. And although they went in opposition to the caliph radiallahu anhu, that yet he remained steadfast, and until they went to kill the caliph, but yet he remained fast, and until they really killed the caliph, but he yet remained steadfast. And by the last will to his son Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, he said that only my killer should be executed, then else should be brought into the line of qisas, being in company of the killer, or being supporter, or being friend of the killer, or being part of the plan of the killer. But since the perpetrator has been only the one, Ibn Muljim himself, so he should only be held in his person for the qisas, none else other than him. That was the strict instruction that was given by the caliph radiallahu anhu to his son Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu. He also said that in one stroke he should be killed. And similarly said that the body should not be mutilated, as the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has strictly forbidden. So all these instructions he has given only to comply the rules of Sharia and not to take revenge in his personal way. That is the difference of Caliph radiallahu anhu and other people who were demanding the qisas, the protesters who were generally present in Medina against the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, voicing they should also be treated as one, all assassins, and should be dealt according to the qisas, which is a punishment only for killer and not for protesters, or not for the ones who support the killer, or not for the ones who voice against the caliph. But yet they were demanding for qisas to one and all who were participant in that protest, and so on. So that was the difference, that Caliph radiallahu anhu had been very careful in implementing the punishments set by Sharia. And that's the reason that he had specifically mentioned to his son not to go for killing anyone other than the one who has killed him only. And the second thing is that the Caliph radiallahu anhu, in the case of the qisas of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, was also careful, because that matter had been affected by the doubt and suspicion that who has been real culprit and real perpetrator of the murder of the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, since it was not beyond the doubts and the evidence could not be produced beyond the doubt and suspicion. So he held himself back from applying the punishment of qisas to anyone until the exact evidence and until the concrete evidence could be found, which could not be found. So that's why he held himself back from executing the punishment of qisas, and that caused a lot of anger in the ranks of Syrian forces, and that caused a lot of opposition in the ranks of the Syrian forces, who could not understand the in-depth implications of the rules of Sharia, that qisas is not a play which to be executed to one who to whom they wish. Rather, it has certain conditions which must be fulfilled before the ultimately execution of the qisas. So these conditions and include that there should not be a single point of doubt or suspicion in reference to the criminal or perpetrator. So, but since they were there was not even the names or not known of the perpetrators, so there was some there was doubts and suspicion which were prevailing over this case of assassins. So that's the reason why the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu could not execute the qisas as the condition of the qisas were not being fulfilled, which are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with reference to the evidence and witnesses. So this was the care and caution that Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu had been observing in his lifetime, throughout his life, in the case of assassination of Umar bin Khattab, as well as in the case of assassination of Uthman bin Affan, as well as in the case of assassination of himself by Ibn Muljim, specifically giving the will to his son Imam Hassan not to kill other than the one who is really perpetrator, who is the real perpetrator, the one who has struck the Caliph radiallahu anhu on his head, and none other than him. Although he had also, Ibn Muljim had a group present in Kufa who had also been part in the plan, part of the plot, and but yet they were not touched and they were not anyway hurt, they were not anyway brought to the punishment of qisas, because according to the rules of Sharia, only the perpetrator is supposed or is liable to be executed as per punishment of qisas said in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also refer back that in case of, remember that Hurmuzan, that he was also, that in the case of Ubaidullah and who had killed Hurmuzan, the Caliph Ali had given his opinion and judgment of qisas to be executed to Ubaidullah bin Umar for killing Hurmuzan. Although Muzan was in company of Abu Lu'lu, but he was, and although he was informed of the plan by Lu'lu, but yet he was not the perpetrator himself, so there was no way and there was no point for Ubaidullah to kill Muzan just for the sake of his own personal revenge. So, but he had since killed Hurmuzan, so Ubaidullah was liable to be to qisas as well in the opinion and judgment of the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu. So this is what this is the care and caution in the Islamic judicial system. This is the point to be noted, that this is the care, this degree of the care and caution is to be observed while implementing the punishment set in the Quran for qisas, for murder, or for any other kind of offenses, as mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. So therefore, what lesson we can get is that we should not be very much in a haste, or we should not be in a hurry to implement to pass the judgment. The judgment should not be passed in a hurry, and the judgment should not be passed ignoring any factor. All the factors, all the situation, all the circumstances must be observed and must be kept and must be put into consideration, into the deep consideration before applying and before passing the judgment and before applying any punishment set in the Islamic legal system, set in the code of Islamic law contained in the Quran and Sunnah. Like for example, the case of hudud, the punishments for the for other offenses which contains the lashes or the stripes are not to be applied just within an easy way. No, there is certain conditions. There are certain conditions which needs to be fulfilled first, and they are particularly about the evidence. In fact,
For example, there are four witnesses required for certain offense to be proved. So if there are four witnesses, but they are somehow or the other not able to give the concrete evidence, then yet three witnesses may observe witness, but the fourth is doubtful. So even then, the case cannot be put under the punishment. That's what the benefit of doubt is to be given to the offender according to the code of Islamic law, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to give benefit of doubt is better to the criminal and then to hold him to the punishment. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also referred in his hadith. So the benefit of doubt is established principle of Islamic legal system or Islamic Sharia or Islamic code of law. So, and this benefit of doubt is also a principle which is also intact in other legal systems of the world as well. So that's the point which must be understood in a broader terms to understand that why the assassins of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu were not taken to Qisas, and what were the factors which had hampered this issue to be settled, and what was the caliph's judgment about his own case when he was killed, when he was attacked by Ibn Muljim. So what was the caliph's judgment and caliph's will for his son Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu with reference to his own assassination. So this all should be kept into consideration and should all be compared with the assassination of other caliphs, so that we could really understand the actual wisdom behind this all judgment was the caliph's care and caution which he had observed with reference to the implementation of the punishments set in the Quran and Sunnah. So that is the point to be noted, that it was his piety, that it was his and his in-depth understanding, that was his wisdom which was playing a very significant role of observing care and caution when the doubts come into a matter, so particularly of the punishments of application. So that due to the doubt and due to the lack of concrete evidence, one has to be very much careful and very much cautious in implementing the punishment. Rather, he should hold himself back, giving the benefit of doubt to the offender, so that he could not go applying the punishment mistakenly. So that should that is the point to be upheld in all the judicial process of settling a dispute or disposing a judgment. And that was the caliph's also approach which he had adopted, and which had led the other people to oppose him. And although he faced their opposition, he did not change his righteous approach. He did not surrender his righteous approach. Although he faced the opposition from the Syrian force, he faced the opposition from other companions in the beginning for the deal of Qisas, but yet he remained steadfast on his righteous instance, on his righteous position. He was, as referred by the Prophet also, وَقُضَاهُمْ Ali, that Ali is the most, is the best in judgment among all the companions. Again, I referred that the Prophet ﷺ, referring Ali radiallahu anhu, said, وَقُضَاهُمْ Ali, that the best or the best among the companions in judgment is Ali radiallahu anhu. So that is what the recognition was given even by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Ali radiallahu anhu with reference to his judgment. So the man who had been recognized as the best judge by the Prophet, how could he commit mistake in understanding the Sharia rules or in implementing the judgment or in giving his judgment with reference to the offenses of murders in the case of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. That's the point which we need, brother and sister, to understand and to elaborate further, to really clarify the minds, so that the actual lesson and the true lesson and the true teachings and the true message could be taken from the caliph's position and the caliph's instance, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who had been having this throughout his caliphate, despite the opposition from a number of quarters, from Khawarij, from Syrian force, from other people, but yet he remained steadfast on the Islamic principles of Sharia, facing all oppositions. Yet he did not surrender and he did not change his position, although huge pressures were put on him to change his position. Sometimes people ask him to surrender, to declare himself blasphemous, or to declare violation of the agreement, or to kill the ones who were part in of the process of assassination of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and who were not witnessed by anyone that who was the exactly or real perpetrator, but yet the other opponent had been forcing him to just take the qisas, ignoring this factor that there is still not clarity, there is still doubt and suspicion about the perpetrator, but they did not understand this fact and they just kept on demanding their qisas without understanding the issue in depth, that the qisas needs first concrete evidence which was not available, and qisas needs the case to be proved beyond any doubt and suspicion, which was also not the case in here. But they ignored these factors and kept on demanding the caliph for qisas. So all these demands and pressures the caliph endured with his steadfastness, with his strong faith, which Allah has blessed with him and Allah has bestowed him. That is only why he was able to sustain and to endure all these opposition and challenges with his full strength and faith and confidence which he had in Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now coming to the caliphate of Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu. First of all, we would like to share that Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu was the man who had a resemblance with the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahabihi wa sallam. So this is a very significant and very beautiful aspect of his personality and of his physical features, that he had a resemblance in physical appearance with the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Same was true with his brother Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, who had also a resemblance with his grandfather, the Prophet, the last prophet of the creator of the universe, Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah, the last messenger of Allah, the mercy of the universe, and the one who was the seed of all the prophets, had a resemblance, these two grandsons, with the grandfather. May Allah bless, and may Allah bless them, and may Allah give them peace and blessings to the point of highest ranking. Now, about these special features, we also have another reference. Once a companion found the caliph, found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having his grandson Imam Hasan on his shoulder. So the companion, out of pleasure, said, "What a ride it is!" So the Prophet said, "See what the rider as well." So the caliph, again the companion said, "What a wonderful ride it is that the grandson is riding over the shoulders of the Prophet of Islam, of the Prophet of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala." So he was expressing his joy and his regard for the Prophet, that he has bearing his grandson on his shoulder. So the Prophet replied that, "See what the great rider is also, that what the great rider he is, the one who is riding on my shoulder." So the Prophet recognized Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu in that event also, that the rider is also the honorable rider and the good rider who has been on the Prophet's shoulder. So this is the recognition which the Prophet gave to the caliph Imam Hassan radiyallahu anhu as well. Similarly, there is another special feature, a special distinction of the caliph is that he went for Hajj for 25 times on his foot. Although he had camels with him, but yet he preferred to go for Hajj on his foot. And that wasn't one time, 25 times and 25 years he continued, and he left for Mecca on his foot for Hajj. That is another great achievement, that is another great distinction that he had in on his credit for that sincerity of Hajj. May Allah bless him. May Allah give us the strength to really follow the glorious footsteps of these glorious people of their time, the glorious people of the world, who really were the chiefs of the paradise, who are the chiefs of the paradise. Really, the paradise is adorned for these people. In fact, they are the people who are really entitled for the highest ranking to be awarded by their Lord in the paradise, as he has also promised with these glorious people, all those who really perform extraordinary acts of marvels and extraordinary acts of sacrifices, extraordinary acts of courage, bravery, and confidence, extraordinary acts of steadfastness on the truth, as well as on the trustworthiness, which was inherited by them from their prophet, the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace be upon him. So there was another point that also we should be shared, so that we could understand his patience. When he had left the caliphate and he had come back from Kufa to Medina and settled there permanently, the governor of Medina, Marwan bin Hakam, used to tease the caliph, Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, by giving or passing a very hurting remarks about him and about his parents. But Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah bless him, used to be all time show his patience and endure his all the remarks, and used not to curse him back, but used to say that Allah knows the best, and He will suffice what you say. That's only the reply he used to give to the caller of Marwan bin Hakam, who used to hurt the caliph frequently, and who used to hurt the caliph time to time with his extraordinary hurting remarks, with his extraordinary bad way of behavior, being governor of Medina. But yet the caliph Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu did not respond in the same coins. He did not pay back in the same manners. Rather, he ignored that all his remarks by saying, by giving the reply that Allah is the one who is the best to take all the revenge and to take all that you said to be accountable to accountability. Otherwise, he himself was not to respond back in the same way. That's the difference of being the caliph, being the imam. Yet he was so much patient and so much having endurance that he used to ignore and used to not react against the remarks passed by the governor of Medina, Marwan bin Hakam, against him and against his parents. And who are the parents of Imam Hassan? The parents of Imam Hassan are the one, his mother is the one who is the Sayyidatul Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the chief of the women of the paradise. She is that lady of Islam. And who is the father? There are a number of traits on his credit. The one who is the lion of Allah and his prophet, the one who is the brother in Islamic brotherhood of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is the gate of knowledge, of the city of knowledge of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is the caliph of Islam, of the Muslim ummah, and a number of there are recognition on his
credit the one who is the best among all in the judgment, as recognized by the Prophet, the one who is better than his own sons, as recognized by the Prophet again, that Ali radiallahu anhu about his being father of the two sons. So these are the recognition of the parents of Imam Hassan. But yet when they were referred in a bad way by Marwan bin Hakam, Imam Hassan used not to take revenge, or used not to react, or used not to abuse in response, as Marwan bin Hakam used to do. That is the greatness of Imam Hassan. That is what we must learn. This is what the teachings of for us as well are there for our worldly lives. This is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do, that he used not to respond back in the same coin. He used not to react. He used not to abuse the ones who used to abuse him, or who used to tease him, or who used to really put him in harm, in problems. But yet the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahabihi wa sallam used to ignore that, or used to forget, used to forgive, used to not react, used to endure, used to show his patience, used to show his greatness, his courage, his confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what was inherited by his son Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, and that was also exhibited on his part when he was also dealt or treated this way by the governor of Medina, Marwan bin Hakam. So this is how we must also inherit these traits of the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his son Imam Hassan, who also showed to his grandfather's ummah the lesson, the true guidance, and the beacons, that how you also should react, or how you should also treat when you are treated badly. So what should you do? Is that what to respond back in the same coin, or to be lenient, or to be more accommodative, or to be forgiving, and to be having a broader vision, and to be enduring and showing your patience. This actually ultimately bring the abuser back to your favor. And the same happened that when Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu died, Marwan bin Hakam was the one who burst into tears. When Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu asked him, "What happened to you? You were the one who used to tease the caliph Imam Hassan in his lifetime. Now he is dead, so you are weeping on his death." He said, "Because I could only do this with this man, because he was the mountain of endurance and patience." This was the remarks after the death of Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu of Marwan bin Hakam, in recognition of Imam's patience and endurance, which he had shown to Marwan bin Hakam in Medina. That was what really impressive lesson that should be really taken by us, that we can win over our enemies by our patience, by the exhibition of patience, courage, confidence, endurance, because this is the lesson what the Prophets of Islam had given us, and this is a lesson what was practiced by his son Imam Hassan, his grandson Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu. And same is the same has been the practice of all the Prophets who came before also. That is also referred in the Quran, that they, when used to be mistreated, they used not to mistreat back the people who used to mistreat them from their nation. Rather, they used to only justify their position, or clarify their position, or they used to only speak to the extent that was only required, clarifying their own position, or calling back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again, and not to take revenge, or not to react, or not to go abusing back the people. That is really the message what we take in the Quran, with reference to all other prophets, with the reference of the Prophet of Islam, the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also there in the Prophet's whole biography. Similarly, that is the message same message that was practiced by Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu as well, who also had shown his extraordinary degree of patience and courage and endurance, that had that had changed Marwan bin Hakam after his death, that he also burst into tears, admiring the Caliph Imam Hassan for his endurance, for his patience that he had shown for him in the city in Medina in his lifetime. Traits of the Caliph Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, that he had excellences on his credit, and the most one of the most prominent features he had is that of endurance and patience and courage and confidence that he had shown to his opponents or to his the ones who had been against him or who had been at having bad remarks about him or who had been giving him a bad thoughts, so bad names and bad opinions about their parents as well. So about like about the parents of from Hassan radiallahu anhu were as well the greatest people of their community of believers in Medina. But yet, after all, Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, as I referred before, was the man of patience, the man of endurance, the man of courage, the man of confidence, who never shown a reaction or revenge, or who never been abusive back to the people who had been sometime or time to time used to call him with some with bad names, or used to call him somehow with that way which was not matchable to that such a man of exalted position. But yet he used to ignore, and he used to show only patience and endurance, and used to submit his matter to the Lord of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and used to rely on him, used to trust on him, used to have belief in him only and faith in him, and he was sufficient for him, as he used to say, that is enough for me to take my affairs. So that is how the Caliph Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu had been as a model while living in Medina, among the people like Marwan bin Hakam, among the people who had been opponent or who have been abusive or who had been adverse to the Caliph and his position, and even to his parents sometimes. One other thing which is also pertinent here is that once Abu Dharr Ghifari, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, was referred in the company of referred in the company of the Caliph Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, and with this point that Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu used to say that I hold dear to me poverty than more than opulence, and sickness more than health. So this what Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu had used to say, that I prefer to have poverty, I'd hold dearer poverty than than opulence and sickness than health. So this was his actually a level of piety that he had, that he used to remain in the state of poverty, so that away from the worldly possessions and the worldly things and the worldly attractions and the worldly charms and grandeur. This is what the excellence he had in his piety, which was definitely one of the most prominent feature of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, that he had. That is the reason, or that is why we can say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said about him also, that I have been ordered to love four people, and one of them was Ali radiallahu anhu, and one of them was also Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. So that's, and one of them was Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu as well. So these are the companions who were the greatest in their piety, who were the ones who were dedicated to only and only Allah and His Prophet, and have away totally from the worldly possessions or the worldly grandeurs or the worldly charms. Like he used to say, that I hold dearer to me poverty
than opulence, and I hold dearer to me sickness than health. That is what, because the sickness actually brings forgiveness of the sins. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, that in the state of sickness or fever, that also becomes source of the of one's sins being forgiven. Similarly, the Prophet also said, the Prophet also prayed for himself, that, "O Allah, I like to be to remain poor, and like to be, and I like to be raised on the Day of Judgment among the poor." When Aisha radhiyallahu anha also asked the Prophet that, "Why do you like to be poor and to be raised among the poor?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the poor will enter the paradise 40 years before the richers or the wealthy people on the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because for their account, for the accounts they have to for the accounts they have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, for that reason they will be late to enter the paradise, but the poor would be the first to enter the paradise, for the reason that they would not have any account to answer for, they would not have any engagements to hold them, to be held for accountability for those dealings or for those financial affairs. For the reason that they had led a poor life in this world. So the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to, him for himself, used to pray for also, and used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O Allah, keep me poor in this world, he liked to pray that I remain poor in this world, and also to be raised among the poor on the Day of Judgment." This is a very, very important point to be really noted, that the Prophet also said that Allah has offered me these mountains to be of gold, but I preferred to fast one day and to break fast one day. The Prophet had been given all the treasures of this world by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred to remain in the state of to remain poor and to remain without worldly possessions. I will quote another event, that in the last days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had in his possession 6 or 7 dinars. He asked his wife, the believer, the mother's believer, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, to disburse these 6-7 dinars, so that he does, and he and further added that, "I don't like to meet my Lord while having in my possession these dinars." So that was the level of the preference of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to have in his possession the worldly things. And that same course Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu had adopted. Similarly, there is another event, that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a huge amount of gift from somewhere. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received that amount of huge amount of gifts, he ordered his servant Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu to disburse this all gifts into the people of Medina. And he then asked his then Bilal radiyallahu anhu started dispersing these gifts and the possessions and the things to the people of Medina the day long. When the evening came, the Prophet ﷺ asked Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu about the state of his possession and their disbursement. The servant replied that still their possession is there and they have not been totally disbursed, because still it is a huge amount left behind. So the Prophet ﷺ preferred to stay in the mosque in that night and not went to his room, not went to the house, saying that, "I don't like to go to the house while having in my possession these worldly things." Same way, the next day, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu started dispersing all that until the night came, but yet the amount of the huge amount of the gifts were still left behind, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again preferred to stay back in the mosque and not to go to the house of his, so that he could not have in his possession the things and while being at home. That's how he had cautious about this worldly possession. So the same way, the next day came, and that was the third day when that day went past that was a time when this all worldly possession and the gifts which were sent to the Prophet had been dispersed by the servant Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his house after this all possession had been dispersed from his possession. This is the examples, and these are the things of the love, and these are the piety of the Prophet, which was inherited by a certain class of people of the companions. In particular, Salman Farsi is one of them, Abu Dharr Ghifari is one of them, even Ali radiallahu anhu is also one of them, who had also been a model in his level of piety and his level of generosity. As an example, can be quoted that once he had been having this food for his iftar, for his breakfast in the evening, and once someone knocked at the door and asked for the food, so he himself offered his food to the one who was asking, and followed by his wife Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, followed by Imam Hassan. Followed by Imam Hussain and Imam Hassan radiallahu anhuma. And this way, the food for breakfast they had for their iftar at the dawn, at the dusk, had been offered in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the miskin or to the destitute who had begged for the food at their door. Similarly, they only had water with them to fill their thirst as well as hunger, but yet they continued the fast the next day, and the next day when the time of iftar came, another man came to beg, to knock the door and begged for the food. Again Ali radiallahu anhu, may Allah bless him and may Allah elevate his soul, the man of piety, the man of faith and belief in Allah and his Prophet, again offered his food for the one who had knocked the door, and that this time it was an orphan who had begged for the food. So when he offered his food to that orphan person, the Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, may Allah bless her, may Allah elevate her ranking, and she is really the most exalted among the women in the paradise, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also said, offered her food in following her husband Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, followed by their son Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain once again, and then they also again had to go only with upon water to pass their nights. The third day, when again they continued their fast, and the third day when the time of iftar came, they had arranged another food, and that day another man came to beg for food at their door, and this time it was a prisoner of war, and that man had begged, and that is called in Arabic asir. This all even actually has also been revealed in Surah Dahar, Surah Al-Insan, in the 29th part of the Holy Quran. Allah got pleased so much that He revealed to the Prophet revelation in admiration of this deeds of piety and the deeds of nobility that had been exhibited on the part of this holy family, the blessed family, the Prophet's family, Ahl-e Bayt. So this time again, when the prisoner of war begged for the food at the door, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, may Allah bless him, may Allah give us strength to follow his footsteps, again offered the food to that prisoner of war, followed by Sayyida Fatima, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahl-e Jannah, Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, bint Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, followed by Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, the leaders of the youth of the paradise. This way, this great family of the of Islam, the holy family of the Islam, the blessed family of the Islam, the Prophet's own family, had set a marvelous example of for the Ummah to follow up by the way of their sacrifice, by the way of their offering in the way of Allah, when they were asked, when they were begged for. So that is why Umar Ali radiallahu anhu was also, the Prophet had been ordered to love Ali also. The Prophet had been ordered to love Abu Dharr Ghifari also, because these were the men of piety. These were the men of great, no one can really match them. There is no match in certain aspects of their personalities like Abu Dharr Ghifari, the one always dedicated to Allah and His Prophet, having nothing in his possession from worldly things. Same Ali radiallahu anhu was, the example is very clear, that the 3 days fasting, yet he was all ready to offer the things in the cause of Allah when someone begged for at his door, never went unattended, never went unnoticed. And this is how this was praised, his deeds were praised in the Quran by way of revelation which was sent to the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Dahar or Surah Al-Insan, both of the two names for this surah, which is contained in the 29th part of the Quran, and that is the second last surah of the 29th part of the Quran, that can also be referred for the further details that how great deeds were exhibited on the part of this family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's what I was referring. Why I refer this this event of Abu Dharr Ghaffari, that he used to say that I hold dearer to me poverty than the opulence, and sickness than health. And the example of Ali radiallahu anhu, that he had offered in his state of hunger and thirst to the one who was, to the beggar who had knocked at the door. For the reason that Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu, in reference to this context, had said that I leave my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for I afraid to interfere in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the instance of Imam Hasan, and this was his position, that he said with reference to this this remembrance of Abu Dharr Ghifari in his presence, he said in from his end that I prefer to submit my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit my all affairs and my all positions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I fear to interfere in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am pleased with what Allah is pleased. And this is the instance and position of Imam Hasan, which he had held for himself. A great position. May Allah bless him, and may Allah elevate his soul and his rank. He said, I don't desire for myself anything, neither I desire anything I totally submit my affairs to the Lord of the universe, and I don't desire for myself for anything. That is all his will. Whatever he fulfills, that is his judgment, his decision, and his pleasure, and that I am also pleased in that what he is pleased with. So I don't interfere in his will. This was the instance of Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu. There is after that, I would refer another point, that when the Caliph Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu had left Caliphate, abdicated the Caliphate, and made over to Amir Muawiyah, he then left for Medina. The people used to say him Aurul Muslimin, and Aurul Muslimin, that the people used to call him, which was in fact a kind of critical remarks or kind of negative remarks, and that's but he used to in reply used to say that Aar is better than Nar, that shame is better than hell. This used to be the reply of Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu, that the shame is better than fire, than hell. Although that means the people used to call him people call him someone who has left the caliphate, that was in the public opinion, on the people's opinion, was something very disgracing or very humiliating. He said even that if it is in their opinion humiliation or a disgrace, yet that is dearer to me than the hellfire. And that's what he used to say, that our shame is better than the hellfire. That means if people shame me, or if people make me ashamed, if I prefer to this shame than to the fire. This was an instance of the Caliph Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu, who was so much cautious, so much concerned of his position on the day of judgment, and how would he stand in the on the day of judgment? How would he be judged on the day of judgment? For that reason, he was he used to decide the worldly affairs accordingly, so that on the day of judgment he could be blessed by the blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, who will be really the most fortunate people who will be blessed on the day of judgment, when there will be nothing, there will be no blessing except the blessing of the one, the only, the creator of the universe. The day when there will be no shelter except the shelter of the one and the creator of the universe. There will be no peace except the peace of the one, of the only creator of the universe, whomever he will extend this blessing, his shelter, his peace, that he will definitely will be the most fortunate man, whom will be blessed this all blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the day of the judgment, the day when even the son will forget his father, the wife will forget his husband, her husband, and this way the sister will forget, the daughter will forget her mother, and all this way all the relation would be forgotten, and everybody will be concerned for his own self, for the deeds they had done in the worldly life, except those who will be safe from this distress, from these worries, and those who had done good deeds in the worldly life would be blessed by the Lord of the universe on the day of judgment, who would be in the state of peace, tranquility, in the state of pleasure, in the state of prosperity, in the state of bliss, and in the state of his blessings, and in the state of his shelter. That is what is the honor that will be given to them who will enter the paradise with peace from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, as referred in Surah Yasin as well. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. That peace, the word from the Lord, who is the most merciful. We stop here, and inshallah we will continue the session of we will continue the topic of Imam Hassan radiyallahu anhu in the next session. With this we conclude. Subhanakallahumma ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.